Judges chapter 2. This morning we come to verses 6 through 23 in our consecutive readings of the book of Judges. This morning we'll look at a review in verses 6 through 10, and then we'll look at a repetition or a pattern in verses 11 through 23, a pattern that we'll find throughout the rest of the book, where we'll find the people of Israel forsaking God. Then we'll find God being provoked to anger because of their departure from Him. We'll find the people of God groaning under bondage. And then we'll find the fourth step, God delivering His people by raising up a judge. And then we'll find God's people falling back into sin again. So we have here in verses 11 through 23 this pattern that emerges and that then is followed throughout the rest of the book. Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. Let us hear God's word. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoke the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet, when they would not hearken unto the judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them, they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And He said, because that this people hath transgressed My covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto My voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I might prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered He them into the hand of Joshua. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired words. I mentioned in verses 6 through 10, we have a brief review of what has happened. We see in verse 6 the happy settlement of God's people in the land. We find their continuance in faith and fear in verse 7. We have the death and burial of Joshua referred to in verses 8 and 9. And then we find in verse 10 what takes place when the next generation comes on the scene. We're told that they knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for them. Apparently they weren't taught, or either they were taught and it didn't take, but they did not know the Lord, nor what He had done for Israel. And so a new generation arises that's not as interested in serving God as their forefathers. Then we have in verses 11 through 23 this pattern that emerges. We see the people of God forsaking God in verses 11 through 13. They did evil, we see, in the sight of God. They did so by serving Baal and Ashtaroth. Baal, a male god, Ashtaroth, a female. Baal having some reference to the sun, Ashtaroth to the moon. Baal meaning lords, and Ashtaroth meaning blessed one. So they're worshiping gods of the creation. And they're also worshiping the false gods of the nations round about them. They imbibe in the false worship of those that surround them and that are amongst them. But then we find the God of Israel provoked to anger in verses 14 through 15. And then we find in verses 16 through 19, the God of Israel displaying mercy upon the people of God because of their groaning. And it doesn't say they repent here, but we do see them afflicted and groaning under that affliction. And it says that nevertheless, God is pleased to deliver them. It doesn't look like it's a thorough repentance, and yet God's merciful to raise up a judge and deliver them from the oppression nonetheless. It says it repented the Lord. So He has His hot displeasure, and yet as He chastens His people, He's willing to let off the chastening, even without perfect repentance. And He raises up these judges, it says, and the Lord was with the judge. How else would the judge prevail and be a deliverer to the people unless God was with him? And so God blessed His people by raising up leaders whom He was with. But then we find in verses 20 through 23 that God continued to chasten His people. This is either a return back to step 1 and step 2, where God's people are now sinning again and God's chastening them again. But I think here in verses 20 through 23, we may have really a description of the tenor of the whole book. The whole book is generally a downward spiral. Things keep getting worse. We're going to see this refrain a couple of times. There was no king in Israel, and the people of God did what was right in their own eyes. And I believe this is a summary of it. Their sin was that they spared the Canaanites. They wouldn't get rid of the idols or of the idolaters. And so God says, because you won't get rid of them, I won't get rid of them. And a matter of fact, I will use them to prove you or try you. I'll see what you're made of because of the people that you are unwilling to exterminate. And God says He'll do that because they transgressed My covenant. In other words, they weren't faithful to God. They went after false gods. And so God says, you've broken the covenant commitment. But notice He says, it's My covenant. He doesn't say, you've broken the covenant that you and I made. But He says, you broke My covenant. I'm the one that initiated this relationship. We see that though they broke the covenant, God continues to be faithful to His covenant mercies to His people.